Thank you for checking out this episode of Christianity Still Makes Sense with Dr. Bobby Conway. This is a portion of a sermon delivered at Image Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. To hear the full message, head over to imagechurch.live and click watch. Hope you enjoy.
That is officially my new favorite worship song right there. Man, that song. Now, I got to say, sitting in the back and watching some of you white folk, you don't really know what to do with that, right? Like, little Emmeline, she's just up there, like, just taking it, right? She's got some sister in her, right? She knows what's up. And then some of my African-American brothers and sisters, you're not really sure if you can get with it in front of the white folk, right? And so you're kind of reserved, you're holding back, and I just want to say, you got to let it loose. Like, we need to wake up a little bit at times. We're two in our head, and so let's just have a great time. That kind of worship that you just heard, to be honest with you, that's something that I've even told the worship team. I would love for us to be able to have, you know, a song like that a week in our repertoire, because I feel like that is, again, it's showing the value of diversity. And, you want different types of music for learning about diversity. And so we can try different types of things out. You know, you can do an old ancient hymn, you can do different things, but I think it's important. And so you go, oh, I'm not really sure I'm comfortable with a song like that or a song, you know, like this. Well, if you know that the greater value is diversity, you'll get joy just knowing, like, it gives me joy knowing that I know some of my African-American brothers and sisters have been longing for some of that kind of music. And I'm just saying it gives me joy to see it being delivered. And I actually love that music. I love the kind of vibe it creates. It just kind of feels like, man, that's what church should feel like a little bit right there, right? So next week, I'll be offering a special levitation for Easter Sunday if you want to bring out your friends. But anyway, my wife has got some soul. She'll get up here and dance. My wife has said to me before, she's like, you know, when you hear this music, like she loves like hip hop or whatever. And she says, but when you hear a beat like this, doesn't it make you want to dance? And I say, no. Nothing inside of me wants to dance. Like, my wife knows. I mean, I hate dancing. I'll tell you a story. This wasn't in the hopper, but why not, right? We were on a cruise ship several years ago. And there was this dance club called the White Heat, and the name even makes me nervous just saying it, right? And my wife wanted me to take her into the White Heat and do a dance with her, and I thought, my Lord, I'd rather jump overboard, right? And why did Bobby die, cause of death? Well, he was asked to dance. So finally, on the last night after putting it off, I walk into the White Heat, and she gets out on the floor and she just starts getting with it and she's doing this. And I'm like, oh God, like I'm just feeling so uncomfortable, right? And then finally I make my way out onto the floor to go meet her for this dance, because I would be in the doghouse if I didn't deliver this, right? I mean, she would have threw me overboard if I didn't. So I went out and I met her on the dance floor, and you know, I was like, man, I should get some WD-40 to kind of like spray it here and here to kind of, you know, do the move. So I walk out and she's literally getting with it, dancing around me. And she, man, my wife can move, man. I'm telling you, like, she knows how to dance. She dances around the house. She'll dance in her car. And I've never felt a song make me want to go like into a dance. It just doesn't work that way for me. So I go out there and I'm like, I guess this, I'm standing there and I'm like, I guess this is the part where I make a move, right? And so I'm like, I'm like, how do we do this right here, right? And so we're doing this, and I'm keeping my head down. I'm very self-conscious and feeling too worried about what people think. Well, I look up, and it's one of these dance clubs that's got screens all over the place. And I look up, and everywhere you look, there I am up on the screen, right, in the White Heat. And I'm thinking, Lord, this is terrible. Well, I'll use that illustration, wasn't planning it. And for time's sake, I'm gonna ditch my other illustration and I'm gonna drive a point. I'm gonna force this illustration to work, and I'm gonna say a statement like this. Sometimes when we wanna grow in our relationships, we gotta get out of our comfort zone in order to mature. And I realize there are things that my wife is mature in. I'm developing this illustration as I talk, right? And I have areas of weakness. But if I'll meet her in that space where she's stronger than I am, I'll grow. But if I don't, we'll stay stuck. And you know, there's a lot of Christians that are stuck spiritually. And God wants us to grow in our relationships. God wants us to grow in our relationship to Him. We are meant to grow in life. We aren't meant to stay stuck. Where are you at this morning? I mean, honestly, do you look at your life and feel like, I'm not only growing, I'm challenged to grow? I want to grow? Or if you're being honest with yourself, would you say, I just don't really grow. I stay stuck. I mean, I show up at church and, you know, if all things work, you know, if the weather's not too nice, if I don't have other plans, if my other hobbies aren't in the way, I mean, I'll show up at church, you know, make God proud. But if I'm really being honest with myself, I'm stuck. And if I'm maybe even really being honest with myself, I'm not sure I want to do what it takes to grow. Because growing means I have to change. And growing means I have to quit with some of my routines and my childish ways, and I've got to man up. And you know what? That's what Paul's going to say today to us as we wrap up 1 Corinthians. He's going to say, act like men. Now, he's not saying, ladies, go out and have a sex change, right? He's saying, act like men in the sense of man up, in the sense of we have to grow up. We have to mature into the humanity that God created for us. And so everything in life, if we are going to be healthy, requires growth. So as I talk to you from 1 Corinthians 16 today, which by the way will be the 27th talk that we've done together, on 1 Corinthians, hopefully we're growing through this. Hopefully there's been some change. I mean, a lot of works went in to helping us understand this dysfunctional church in Corinth, and Paul wanted that church to learn to function in the way that God intended. And so he's going to wrap up with offering some marks of a mature or maturing Christian and what that looks like. And I think that so much of what keeps us stuck is passivity. I see this a lot in men, passive men. I'm not saying that ladies aren't passive too, but there is a passivity that can be there where men just need to step up and be spiritual leaders and grow in their life and not be just stuck and just be like, sometimes I just see guys and it drives me crazy. They're shallow, like they're empty. Like and they'll come alive. They'll talk to you about sports all day long. But try to talk to them about something of depth and they're just like, huh? Right? Like we need to grow. And I'm speaking to my fellow men, right? Mano y mano. Yeah. All right. The ladies are like, yeah, we want you to stick on this message too. You know, you gave us a different intro. Why don't you just stick with this for the body, right? I'm not wanting to beat you guys up as men. But come on, it's fair. I mean, a lot of guys are just dense when it comes to conversation. They're stuck. Their wives are longing for them to just be spiritual leaders. They just sit in front of a remote and it's like, oh my goodness, what a horrific existence. Just channel surfing your whole life. God will be so impressed when I stand before him. Check out all the channels I surf through, God, right? Like, there's got to be something more than this. So we got to grow. And I want us to look at what that would look like for us to mature, all of us, men, women, and boys and girls, because we got to grow in all areas of our life, right? I mean, if you go to the gym and you walk in there and then you watch people work out, but you never lift weights, what's going to happen? Well, a lot of people go to church like that. They just kind of show up and observe, but they wonder, like, why am I not growing? Well, it's kind of like the person just goes to the gym and you just see them having conversations in the gym. And personally, I'm not the guy that likes that. Like, some people, it's like you're going to the gym and you're talking to everybody. Like, we're here to work. right? We set aside this time. I want to get a workout in. Let's work, right? Now, let's cast a smile at each other. Let's be friendly. But if you don't work out, you just show up at the gym. And I think that's what happens. We don't grow. We stay stuck. If we stay in our marriage relationships and we don't put effort into the relationship, we're not going to grow in our marriage. And so the Christian life is no different, right? If you don't do the homework in school, if you just sit in class and observe, but you don't do your assignments, you don't go from one grade to the next grade. You don't graduate. You have to put the work in. You have to do the homework in order to graduate. You have to put the work in order to have a good marriage. You have to put the work in the gym in order to grow. But there's something funky going on in the church, and I've always seen it. And it's the kind of person that shows up at church and they observe, but they don't grow. And you see the same mistakes over and over and over again. And Paul's saying, it's time to put aside these childish ways. And so I get the fun job of saying, it's time to grow up for all of us, myself included, in the areas that we're stuck. 1 Corinthians 16, let's wrap this book up and look at 7 marks of a spiritually mature Christian. And if you're not a Christian, I want you to listen to these marks that we're going to talk about, and you could be thinking, like, how would I like this kind of characterization in my life? Would I like to see these types of marks depicted in my life? Because whatever the worldview is that you have, whatever it is that you believe, a worldview, if it's effective, should show us how to live. So what kind of life does atheism teach you how to live? Well, it's survival of the fittest. It's serving yourself. It's just doing what you want. It's thinking of yourself, right? So when you think about the different worldviews on offer, how does that worldview help you grow? Like, I've never met a person who said, man, I want to share my testimony if I can about just with you. You mind if I set up a time to talk to you so I can just tell you about how becoming an atheist changed my life, right? Let me tell you about how radically transformed my life has become since I become an atheist. Why is that? Because it's a worldview that doesn't deliver on growth and maturity and transformation. And Christianity offers that. And we get an exemplar in the name of Jesus to learn how to live and follow. So as we think about this, the first mark of a spiritually mature Christian is this, that they're marked by generosity. Now, warning. This is the part where the pastor has to talk about money for a little bit. And if you know me, and some of you have known me for years, you know that I hate talking about money. Why is that? Well, because people have a picture of when a pastor talks about money, and I don't like that picture. And frankly, the things that bother Christians about pastors when they talk about money bother this pastor about it too. I don't like when people are manipulated to give. I don't like when pastors use their ministries as a platform to become financially rich and prosperous, where they're just, you know, milking people, but it's all about just their own gain. So as a pastor, I just want you to know that I have preached against and have done videos about the prosperity gospel. It really bothers me. At the same token, the Bible talks a lot about giving, and it connects it to our maturity. And so before I read these verses, I just want to kind of like establish the why give piece. Because when the Bible's talking about giving, it's not talking about it from a standpoint of trying to manipulate us. It's actually trying to teach us God's perspective on something very important in life, and it's this. It's surrender. And if we don't understand that we have funds that come in, if we don't start with this principle, everything I have is God's, we're already off to a bad start. And that's why the Bible over and over again uses the term like the first fruits, the tithe, the first portion. Because it's as if God is saying, you've got to learn to trust me in this area. Like, this is like elementary. And there are people who have been Christians for years and they've never given a dime. And you're saying, okay, Bobby, this is the point where you're starting to sound manipulative. I think everybody should want to support their local church. I really do. And I'm speaking like as a guy that if I wasn't a ministry, I guarantee I would be tithing to my local church. I believe in that big time. I'm not telling you how much to give to the church. I'm not telling you where to put the money. I'm truly speaking as I'm thinking about your heart. You should want to give back to the ministries that invest in your life, in your family's life. That should be a priority to give. And I just want you to realize if you earn money and you're out like going out to dinner all the time and you're paying for things and you're doing things and but God just never gets a portion, there's something spiritually wrong with your life. Like you can't think that you and God are okay. But guess what? You go, I feel okay though. Well, the Bible, it doesn't matter if you feel okay. It's a discipline that needs to be figured out in your life. And there's something broken and you have to go, okay, well, why don't I? Again, I'm not trying to be self-serving here, folks. I want you to know that. I hate it when I hear pastors just get after the body I'm not trying to be self-serving here. I'm genuinely trying to help you to experience the promises of God in your life. And I fear that sometimes Christians are limited because they just treat the Bible like going to TCBY. They're, hey, I'll lick at this, but I'm going to avoid this. And that's unhealthy. Like we need to come to a place in our life where we're like, I've got to have the whole word as a part of my life, and I want to figure that out. And so some people go, well, I can't afford to give. And that's an unhealthy, that's an immature way of looking at money. The widow's mite, she couldn't afford to give and she gave her last penny. And sometimes those who make the most and that are thinking about their portfolio all the time, they're the worst at it. I mean, honestly, it's sad. I mean, sometimes the churches are carried by those who are middle to lower class incomes, but they're faithfully giving, while the most affluent, they're just thinking about getting that upgraded car, that upgraded house, that pool put in, while middle class, lower class are often just, they're sacrificing to keep the thing going. And so I just want to say, because I don't talk about money a lot, I'm stopping to talk about it. And now let's look at some verses and we'll start moving away from this, all right? But I'm asking you to participate in giving with your first fruits. And if you can't do it, go, why? Because why don't I do it? Why don't I want to do it? Do I not trust that it's going to be used for something good? All right, then set your own foundation up and give to something, right? But I don't think that I would want to go through life being so distrustful because it's not my money. Like, you know what I'm saying? Everything that I have, my time, my treasure, my talent, is property of God. And so we operate like our time. We're going to use our time how we want. We're going to use our money how we want. We're going to use our gifts when we want. Our gifts are ours that are given to us to be used. Our time is ours. It's given to us to be used. Our treasures are ours. It's given to us to be used. Am I not speaking the truth in Christ here? I think I am. Like, I really think I am, right? I'm trying to help you then to see that you're property of God. You belong to God. And as long as you are the master of your own destiny, you are going to be limited in your relationship to the true master. And I want you to know what it's like to thrive as a believer, to mature as a Christian. That's important to me. And if it's not important to a pastor, that's a problem. And that doesn't mean that this pastor has it figured out. The only reason we put the mental health as a distinctive is because I'm so mentally jacked up and I needed a distinctive to remind myself, right, that I got a place I can go to deal with my mess and it's you guys that can take care of me, right? All right. Now, you're like, okay, can we get some of the verses here? Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches in Galatia, so you also are to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. So Paul is taking up a special offering, and you see this again in 2 Corinthians, and it's a special offering that's going to go to Jerusalem. And he's like, on the first day of the week, like don't, in other words, when you get paid, this isn't an option. Like set something aside, like just do it. And I would say start somewhere and commit to it. Like, because what happens is you're like, you'll be looking at your bills and you'll be looking at your paycheck and you'll be like, well, this week I'll give this much and this week. And it's always about making sure that like our needs are covered first. And I go, for us, I'm going to tell you, like for Heather and myself, the mindset is God gets paid first. Like that is, that's that. And then from that can flow the other aspects. Now, given what I have, how can I trust God to take care of me with the rest that still belongs to God? God, what do you want to do with the rest that still belongs to you? So that said, this is an offering that he says on the first day of the week. And he says, what? He says, so you might prosper. Like in other words, like I think that people that are generous and people that give, that they know a certain kind of freedom that others that don't, who are in bondage to their money, that don't let go. There's a freedom to not being in bondage. And he says, so as he may prosper. And it's so that there will be no collecting when I come. And I go, man, what's going on there? Well, so that it's ready as well. But, you know, being intentional. We're trying to save towards something, right? Let's give. Let's not just wait to the last minute and then try to figure out. If you don't put something aside each week and you wait to the last minute, then I'm going to show up and it's going to be harder to let go, right? And so set something aside every week. Get in the habit of that. And then he goes on and he says, and when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable that I should go also, they will accompany me. So that's pretty cool. So in 2 Corinthians now, in the next letter, here's what we learn about some of the people as it relates to how they received the challenge to give. All right? We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means. They were stretching themselves, right? Of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. Now, I got to say, like, whatever's going on in their hearts, I can't say that as a pastor, I've had people coming up going, oh, my pastor, can I please just, I got to know how to give to this church. I'm so passionate about this vision, and I just want to be a part of it. Like, how do I get engaged in this, man? Right? Like, you know, just so you know, in the name of manipulation, do you notice that we don't even pass an offering? We're obviously not trying to manipulate you here, right? Like we under-talk about it. We're like, there's a basket back there. But some people go, well, if the offering's not passed, I guess God's not looking for me to give this week, right? What a horrible mindset, right? But people can get that way. Instead of going, I'm going to be proactive and figure out how to give to this mission that I'm a part of because God wants me to be engaged in it, all right? Here is something that we also read, though, in the book of Haggai as it relates to giving. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord, right? The temple. Then the word of the Lord came to by the hand of Haggai the prophet. Is it a time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses? In other words, in your slick houses, while this house, God's house, lies in ruins. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, right? Sometimes we just stop and consider our ways. You have sown much and harvested little. Right? You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. It's never enough for the person that never figures out generosity.
Thank you for checking out this episode of Christianity Still Makes Sense. This show is just one of the many resources available to those who are doubting their Christian faith. You can also find others at ChristianityStillMakesSense.com. This is a listener-supported show, and your gift of any amount helps shows like this continue. Click on the donate link on our website. Also, catch Bobby on Pastor's Perspective, where he answers your questions. Finally, if you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click subscribe and check out our other videos on the channel. This show is sponsored by K-Wave and Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.